The topic of this morning's Shiur in Yom Pesach is an overview of many halachas that are relevant in Yom Pesach, both for men and for women. I try to stress those areas that women need to know more in particular, and specifically this year that Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, which, from what I was told, it's not going to happen for another many years. So the Friday Purim and the Erev Pesach Shabbos, you have to take it all in. Well, we have it here this year. The first halachas that we mentioned here are Bedikas Chametz. We know that the first Mishnah tells us Or l'arbosar bodkim es hachametz l'or haner, that the arbosar is Erev Pesach, so the night before Erev Pesach. This year it's going to be two nights before, because Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, so therefore we're not going to do the normal bedikas chametz. Would have been, if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, the normal time would have been Friday night, based on this Mishnah, but we don't do it on Shabbos, so we do it the night before. On Thursday night is the time for Bedikas Chametz. L'or Haner, the Mishnah says that we do it with a candle. One should keep in mind that doing it with a candle in our time and age is not a good idea, and one should do all the Bedikas Chametz with a flashlight and should not even try to do a little bit of it with a candle. It's not safe, it's not wise. Do all the Bedikas Chametz that you have with a flashlight and you'll hopefully find your Chametz and still have all your belongings safe after this endeavor. So, Or Haner could be done with a flashlight. The Mishnah says that the places where you don't keep chametz, you don't need bedika. Meaning, if you don't bring chametz into your bedroom or other rooms in the house where chametz are not brought into, then one is not required to do bedikas chametz in these particular locations. The only place where one is supposed to do, is required to do bedikas chametz, is places where you regularly bring chametz into those locations. But places in the house that don't usually have chametz there, unless you have little children who bring chametz into many different places, one is then not required to do bedika in these places, or else you could spend your whole life doing bedikas chametz. So the kol makom shei machnisim bo chametz ein tzarech bedika, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch repeats on number beis. Now this halacha is b says beis yizar kol adam shlo yaskel b'shul malachu liyochal ad sheyivdom, that one is not allowed to start a meal before he's bodek the chametz on Thursday night. But now that we changed the clocks, so the shkia is going to be around 7:40 then, roughly. And so therefore the zman of Bedikas Chametz, say, would be like a half an hour after, say about 8:10. So as long as you eat your meal a half an hour before that, then you're okay. So if you serve dinner 7 o'clock, then you have your dinner then you're okay. It's the olden years when we didn't have the clock turned then, and then it was really dinner time then that halacha would apply. But today, one could finish his whole dinner uh, beforehand. Normally the halacha is that within a half an hour of the time of the mitzvah, one is not allowed to have a meal. So if the mitzvah is roughly around 8:10, so half an hour before that with the time that you can't have the meal, but if you have your meal 7 o'clock and you don't stretch it out, then you're doing okay. Also, one should have in mind, when one is being bodei chametz, so one is not looking for every little crumb that's underneath the couch. The bedikas chametz that you're looking for, of course, when you're cleaning the area of the sink and the countertops, there you're looking for anything. You want to get rid of all the crumbs and everything. But when you're looking in general in the house, you're not looking to see is there a crumb underneath the couch. You're looking to see if there's something significant, like a cookie, a yodel, or something of significance underneath there. But if there's a crumb there, we hold that crumbs, you can't eat crumbs on Pesach, but you don't violate the issur of owning crumbs on Pesach. So one is not looking for these little specks where one might think one is looking for something significant. Of course, this is only the things that you don't sell. If one sells the chametz, then one should put away the chametz that they sell in a specific closet and tape it up, so one should not be entering that room or that closet on Pesach. If one is in a situation where they have an apartment, they don't have so much chametz, there's no mitzvah to sell your chametz. The real mitzvah is to get rid of your chametz. The minhag became to be lenient and to sell chametz in situations where it became overwhelming to get rid of all your chametz. But say a person has an apartment here in the Heights and doesn't have so much chametz and they can get rid of it, so that's the preferred way to operate, to get rid of all your chametz, not to necessarily sell. I know some people, not only they sell the chametz, but they buy chametz before Pesach to store it. To me, that's the opposite of the intent of the halacha. The halacha wants you to get rid of chametz, not to buy chametz and store it in your house over Pesach and sell the chametz. So if you need to sell your chametz because you have an extreme amount of chametz and you're going to have a financial loss which will be significant, then go ahead and do so. But if it's just something that's not so significant, half a loaf of bread and a box of Cheerios and this and that, so get rid of it. That's the real mitzvah of what the Torah requires. Yeah, right. The mitzvah of chametz and Pesach is get rid of chametz, not stock up on. Yeah. Okay. So then maybe for that such a person, it would be a hefsed meruba to go ahead. Yeah. But in other words, a lot of times we miss the whole point of the halacha, and we're very good at doing all the legalities without really getting through what the Torah had in mind. Okay, so the definition of chametz we'll get shortly on in number two. Okay, so that is the din of bedikas chametz, and we know after bedikas chametz, we do bittul chametz. We say the kol hamira, which you'll find in your sidurim and your hagados. The kol hamira is to annul the chametz, and therefore there's one to say at the night bedika. There's one to say in the morning. So we do that after the bedikas chametz kol hamira. If one doesn't understand the Aramaic meaning of kol hamira, one should recite it in English. Because the point of nullifying your chametz means that you understand what you're doing. You understand the concept that you still, if there's any chametz left over, or whatever it may be, you want that chametz to be other words, not the chametz that you're selling, but other chametz that could have, that you might have missed or something like that, you want to be nullified. So therefore, you have to know what you mean. You shouldn't think that you mean that you're saying some, statement that means to have a happy Pesach. You mean that, so you should, so bittul chametz is Aramaic, and it's important to understand what you're saying. Now, number two, chametz shenifsal. One should realize that the chametz that is the Torah forbade one to eat or own, we know that Pesach is a unique holiday where not only we can't eat the forbidden chametz, we can't even own the forbidden chametz, which is different than other aspects of halacha where, like non-kosher food, where we don't eat it, but there's no violation of owning it. Here, the Torah has a special stringency not even to own it. The Mefarshim explain, because it's very likely, since chametz is something we're so used to the whole year round, if we're going to own it, we'll come to eat it. So therefore, they don't want us to own it. That's why even if one sells the chametz, one is not allowed to have it in the same... the one has to have a mechitza between himself and the chametz, either meaning in a different room, and the door is that mechitza, or the closet door, and you close it with tape, so that is the mechitza, because we're afraid that even if you sell your chametz, you still are so used to it, you'll come to eat the chametz that you sold. So therefore, one should go ahead and make sure that the chametz is on the other side of the door. However, when we're talking about chametz, we're talking about edible food. That is what chametz is. The Gemara says on 2a, that anything that is not fit to eat before the coming of Pesach is permissible to use on Pesach. So for example, if you have soap, so soap is not edible. So I don't know whether your soap has chametz or your soap doesn't have chametz, but soap is not edible. And therefore, one doesn't necessarily have to have a kosher Pesach soap or a kosher Pesach shampoo. All these things that are not edible are permissible to use on Pesach. There is a discussion in the Rush about what about eating it. So you're not going to eat your soap, and you're not going to eat the shampoo. But the issue comes in whether you're going to, whether vitamins and medicines and things like that. So technically speaking, vitamins and medicines are also things that are not fit for human consumption, and therefore would not have, even though we take them, but they're not considered food items. So if one wants to get the list and see for sure, that's considered a stringency. But the technical halacha is that medicines are all considered unfit for human consumption, and therefore do not have the isser of non-kosher food, nor do they have the isser of chametz on Pesach. Vitamins is more of a question. Different poskim have different opinions. Some poskim are of the opinion that vitamins are considered like a food supplement, and we should consider them like food, and others disagree. So technically speaking, vitamins are also permissible on Pesach, but if one wants to be more stringent with the vitamins, there's more room to be stringent with vitamins to make sure to get the special kosher Pesach vitamins than there are on medicines. But technically speaking, but certainly you could own all these vitamins, and you can own all these different cosmetics that are not fit for human consumption, and you could even use them on Pesach as well. Yeah, she's wanting to know if there's a difference between pills and liquid medicine. Technically speaking, there really shouldn't be. There might be some opinions that make that distinction. No, you don't have to throw out anything for sure. Anything that is not a food item, that's not real food, you don't have to sell. You don't have to throw out. And you could even use. You could use your soaps. You can use the shampoos. Oh, spices. I would have to check to see if there's any spices. Usually, are not chametz. I can't say for sure if there are any types that could have anything in them, but. Okay, so bittul chametz we went through already. That's number 3, and the Mishnah Berurah 3b. B'lashon HaKodesh lav dafka means you don't have to say the bittul chametz in Hebrew. You could say it in any language that you understand. So you understand that you're nullifying the chametz. Number 4, Issur achilas matzah b'erev Pesach. There is a prohibition of eating matzah on erev Pesach. Some people have the minhag that they don't eat it for a month in advance, or all different types of minhagim, but the technical halacha is only on Erev Pesach. That one is not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach, because since he's going to be using the matzah to fulfill the mitzvah that night, so we want it, different reasons, we want it to be like a special thing, that you shouldn't be... Should the taste of the matzah should be something new for you when it comes to the Pesach night. So therefore, one should not have matzah on Erev Pesach. Now, what does this mean? Does this mean, okay, so I know I can't have the matzahs that I'm eating for the Seder, I can't have on Erev Pesach. That for sure I won't. But what about things that are made from matzah meal? Could these things, so things that are made from matzah meal are, if it's a cake or a cookie that's made from matzah meal, which is, in other words, the matzah meal then is baked, so one should not have that on Erev Pesach as well. Because, again, the matzah meal is also considered, matzah meal is matzah, it's just ground up matzah. So therefore, the fact that it was baked again doesn't remove its status of matzah. So one should not serve any cakes or cookies on Erev Pesach that is made with matzah meal any time on the day of Erev Pesach. However, if the matzah meal was cooked, so then it loses its status of matzah. So if you have filter fish that you cooked and has matzah meal in it, so one would be allowed to eat that on Erev Pesach. But as someone pointed out to me, in their family, someone said they baked the fish. So if you bake the fish and you have matzah meal in the fish, then you can't have that fish on Erev Pesach. Cannot. Right. But kenedlach that are cooked, so that, according to most poskim, one is allowed to have that on Erev Pesach. So if you're looking to serve something on Erev Pesach, it's a long day, especially this year, that you need different things to serve. So kenedlach, which are cooked, are permissible to serve on Erev Pesach. Of course, the egg matzah is also a discussion, especially this year, that Erev Pesach is falling out on Shabbos. So so if you're a Sephardic Jew, if anybody is Sephardic in this, well, your husband's a Sephardic Jew, and you follow the Sephardic tradition, so then you could have egg matzah on Erev Pesach as late as 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Because once 4 o'clock in the afternoon sets in, one is not allowed to have a real meal on an Erev Pesach. So, for Ashkenazim treat egg matzah, even though it's technically it's not chametz, but we have stringencies that it can become chametz in the process. So Ashkenazic tradition is not to eat egg matzah on Pesach. So therefore, in most people have the therefore an Ashkenazic tradition when the Isser of chametz sets in, when the prohibition of chametz sets in, that's when they will no longer eat egg matzah. So this year, different opinions again, like everything else, say roughly 10:16 is the latest time for eating chametz on Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach. So then many are of the opinion in the Ashkenazic world that they will not eat egg matzah past that time, because others even within the Ashkenazic camp of the opinion that since it's not chametz itself, it's only a suspect that it can become chametz, so then one maybe could, you know, be lenient to even eat it past that time, certainly till chatzos around 1 o'clock or something like that. But the main, most people have the minhag that after, in the Ashkenazic world, that after 10:16, the way it comes out this year, will not have egg matzah, whereas the Sfardim, who eat it the whole Pesach. So the only issue is that they can't have a meal food on Erev Pesach, so that's around 4 o'clock, 4:07, around 4 o'clock is the time that you can't have start a meal. So for Ashkenazim, there's nothing we can eat for a meal, because we can't eat bread, and we can't eat matzah, and we can't eat egg matzah. So the only thing is, Ashkenazim should realize that starting 4 o'clock, they shouldn't stuff themselves with whatever, with macaroons, or something like that, on Erev Pesach. Beforehand, before 4 o'clock, you could, if you want to stuff yourself with anything you want to stuff yourself, we assume that by the time the Pesach Seder will come around, you'll have an appetite. But for the Svardim, around 4 o'clock would be the time that they can have the egg matzah. So that's the prohibition of eating, again, so the prohibition of eating matzah, again, includes matzah meal and all baked products that have matzah meal. Cannot eat the whole day on Erev Pesach because of this prohibition of eating matzah. The only matzah that will be permitted is either egg matzah, which is permitted, according to many, up to 10:16 in the morning, or knedlach, which would be permitted the whole day on Erev Pesach, or certainly before 4 o'clock. And again, but anything, if the fish is baked, then again, one would not be able to have it. There's a question this year that Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, when one should have Shalosh Shudas. Some people, as mentioned in 4D, Shachas Yafsum, some people have the minhag to divide the meal. Many people have the minhag to go to a very early minyan. So this way, right, you could eat your chametz. If one wants to eat chametz, depending upon whether that will be allowed in the house or not, one could eat actual chametz for his Friday night meal and Shabbos morning meal if he eats it before 10:16 in the morning. But if you're ready, you don't want to bring chametz in the house, so then one is going to probably use egg matzah to have for the Shabbos the Shabbos meals in lieu of regular matzah. And that would be permissible, as we said, because egg matzah is not matzah that you could fulfill the mitzvah at the Seder. So since you can't fulfill the mitzvah with egg matzah at the Seder, you're allowed to eat it. Okay, that's an excellent point. Well, that's number five, and we're going to get to that. So we'll get to that in 1 second. That's an excellent point. And so what should one do some do for Shalosh Shudas, they'll divide the meal. They'll eat their meal, they'll bench, they'll walk around the block, and then they'll wash again. So that is an opinion. I don't necessarily recommend this opinion, because according to many opinions, you don't fulfill Shalosh Shudas until the afternoon. So therefore you're breaking the meal to fulfill Shalosh Shudas only according to certain opinions, and you're doing something that's out of the ordinary. So what I more recommend is to have your morning meal, whatever it's from, egg matzah or chametz, and chametz you have to make sure you've finished by 10:16, and then you have to get rid of any chametz that's left over if you're eating chametz, and flush it down the toilet by 11:35 on Shabbos. By 11:35, all chametz should be rid of by then, and you should have said the Kol Chamira, the morning Kol Chamira, you should have said by 11:35 latest. You can say it earlier, but finished by 11:35 latest to say the Kol Chamira in the morning. So what I would recommend, what one could do, is just have a regular meal in the morning, and you don't have to break it up, and then after midday, after 1 o'clock, 1:05, whatever it is, you can have some eggs or gefilte fish, the permissible gefilte fish, and that will be your Shalosh Shudas. And and this way you don't even have to, you don't have to break up the meal, you don't have to, because breaking up the meal has its halachic problems.
How long
in other words, if you're gonna wash, you'll have challah, and then you're gonna eat your meal. Well, why should you have a gap? Why? So if you want, what you can do is you could wash and bench, and that could be your Suda Shnia, and then you can serve meat and potatoes in the afternoon. Yeah, you shouldn't have such a big gap, because if you have too much of a gap, you could lose out to Birkas HaMazon. So if you wanna serve a nice meal, it should be after 1 o'clock. It should be because after Chatzos is, the exact time you have to look, but it's sometime after 1 o'clock. So that's when you should have your meat and if you want to do that, and that'll be your Shalosh Shudas. Which your Shalosh Shudas could be meat and chicken and fish, etc. Okay, 1 second. I don't hear you. 1 second. Number five, the question that was raised before was, what about, how could you use egg matzah for the Suda Shabbos if egg matzah is, matzah shira is called pasa baba kisnin? It has the status of cake. So we know on cake we make a borimine mezonos. So what's the status of egg matzah? So the halacha is that if you're eating it as part of your meal, and that is eating it in lieu of bread, in other words, you're eating it in the same amount that you would eating bread, in other words, at least one, some say two, slices of egg matzah, so then, in other words, you have to eat a nice amount. Some say two slices, some even say one slice. of egg matzah, so then you become considered being koveya yesuda. You're being making, in other words, making yesuda on this egg matzah, and then that becomes hamotzi. And then you make hamotzi, and you could use it for the meal as well. No, so the question is like this. We have, there are two problems here. There's one problem that if you're going to eat it after Chatzos, so if you're an Ashkenazic Jew who normally is not going to eat egg matzah then, so then you don't have hamotzi to make. If you do it before, so then the problem is that according to most opinions, you did it before the Zman that you could eat Chalashuris. So the question is, which is the, you know, the less of the two things. So it's my opinion that the so-called the less of the two problems is better off to do it after Chatzos, which is the time for Shalosh Shudas after 1 o'clock, and serve fruit or fish, meat and things like that in the afternoon. Again, up to 4 o'clock, a light, and you can have something regular after 4 o'clock. You just make sure you don't have too much. Okay, we'll hold the questions to the end. Okay, please hold the questions to the end. So that's number five. Number six, Issur Melacha Erev Pesach. It's an interesting topic, but it's not relevant for this year because Erev Pesach is on Shabbos. So we're not going to do Melacha this Erev Pesach anyway. You should be aware that there is an issue, that Erev Pesach is different than any other Yontif, Erev Yontif that we have. Because Erev Pesach is the way several people explain, is considered like a Yontif. Because the Korban Pesach was brought on Erev Pesach. So it's different than any other Erev Sukkos, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Shavuos. Erev Pesach in itself is considered a holiday, and that's why, especially after Chatzos, in the afternoon, that's why it's preferable to get a haircut beforehand, and to cut your nails beforehand, and to do the laundry beforehand, and all these things on Erev Pesach to do in the morning. Again, this year it's Shabbos, so we're not going to be doing these things anyway. But And if you'll take a look in 6b, on the third line, the Erev Pesach Mutar B'Kol Achar Chatzos, and has another interesting halacha that, God forbid, if somebody is in the middle of Shiva, so normally when Yontif comes, it breaks Shiva, or a Shabbos suspends Shiva. But in that situation, one still has to keep sitting Shiva till as much time he needs to prepare for the holiday or for Shabbos. So on this time of year, the Shkia could be 7:40, so if you only need 2 hours to prepare, so that means till 6 o'clock, you're sitting, God forbid, a person is sitting a regular Shiva. However, on Erev Pesach, it's the one exception to the rule. Again, this year it's different with Shabbos, but the one exception to the rule that the once Chatzos, which is 12 or 1 o'clock, depending upon when we change the clock, roughly, might be off 5 minutes here or there, but one stops the Shiva at that time. And because Erev Pesach after Chatzos is already a Yontif. It's already considered a yontif. Again, we still do malacha, like we turn on the light, things like that. But the heavy-duty malachas, like the laundry and the haircuts and the things like that, those things really should not be done on Erev Pesach. In fact, certain Hasidim who are makpid to bake matzahs on Erev Pesach, again when it's a weekday. So they have a minhag also, especially Skvera Hasidim, to say Hallel during the baking of matzahs and even with a bracha. Because just like when the Korban Pesach was brought, so Hallel was said on Erev Pesach. So Erev Pesach is different than any other Erev Yontif. Rav Schechter has said many times that he feels the mistaken practice that when people come to the Kotel on Friday in the afternoon, they think they're exempt from Tearing Kriya because it's already after Chatzos. So he felt that that's a mistake, that people just transferred over the halacha from Erev Pesach to every Erev Shabbos. But really, there's nothing after Chatzos, or the regular Friday is just the regular weekday. So God forbid somebody sitting Shiva has to still sit Shiva past Chatzos. And it's only a din by Erev Pesach, that Erev Pesach is considered a yontif by midday, which around 1 o'clock. It's already considered a yontif, because that's when the Korban Pesach was brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Number 7, Asiyas Mei Melach. There's a custom that we know that we dip the different things in the carpus in the Mei Melach, and it's customary to make the Mei Melach before Yontif, or this year before Shabbos. But technically speaking, as Rav Abadi mentioned to me, technically speaking, as Poskim say, that the salt water that we have today is not so significant. It's not real heavy stuff. So if you forgot, so some say you should do it with a shinoi to put the water in and then the salt. But if you forgot, you could do it at the Seder as well. If you remember, so it's a nice thing to do it before Shabbos this year. But if you forgot, it's not the end of the world. As Rav Abadi said, the Amei Melech today is not the real heavy-duty salt that was in that they spoke about. Okay, number 8, Zman Asiyas HaSeder. So the Seder is different than the other regular Shabbos meal. Regular Shabbos meal, soon we're going to go on the summer schedule. Maybe some people already went on the summer schedule. But the summer schedule that they daven early and they eat the Suda early. So every Friday night in the summer months, you can do it the whole year round if you want, but no one is coming home from work at 3:30, 2 o'clock, to ready to have their meal. But on the Seder night, the mitzvah of Haggadah and Matzah has to be done at night when it's dark. So therefore, we don't make early Yontif by Pesach. And well, Sfiras HaOmer, that's the second night, Sfiras HaOmer. But and Sfiras HaOmer is a less of a problem, because Sfiras HaOmer really we hold is only the Rabbanan, and really could be, according to many poskim, can be done after sunset. Shulchan Aruch says the Bedaktikim wait longer. So this year, Shkia, sunset, the night of the Seder, first Seder is around 7:40, 7:39, 7:40. So most probably the time that the husband's going to come home from shul, it's going to be, who knows, probably not before 8:15, 8:30, who knows when they'll come home from shul. So then you're not going to have any problem. You're going to start very late. But technically speaking, if you're in a situation where there's an elderly person and you need to start early, so one should realize that according to the Vilna Gaon's opinion, around 8:01 is considered nightfall, according to the Vilna Gaon. We don't do this to end Shabbos so early, but Lagabe, these halachas, especially in the case of an elderly person, one would be able to start the Seder as early as that. And maybe, according to some, even a little bit earlier, as long as the main part of the Haggadah and the Matzah will be eaten after that after that time. But in most situations, the time you're going to come home from shul anyway. But if there's a situation where there's an elderly person and you need to, we could discuss it privately, but one should realize that there is room for leniency in these cases, maybe around 8 or maybe a little bit earlier. Okay, number 9 is a list of the various mitzvahs that we have at the night of the Seder and their obligation for women. So 9a, women are obligated in matzah just as much as men are obligated in matzah. Many of the measuring things that they produce are very, very machmir in how much matzah you have to eat. Technically speaking, as the Stipler writes, if you eat the amount of matzah to cover the palm and the fingers, that is a kezias. And if you can't eat that, you can at least eat the amount of matzah that covers your palm. And so, if yeshiva students want to eat more, fine. But sometimes people get upset at other people at the table that they don't know what they're doing. So people have to know what's the real halacha and then what's chumras. So you should realize that the real halacha is to eat the matzah the size of the palm with the fingers. And according to the Chazon Ish and according to Rav Chaim Volozhiner, only even the size of the palm would be sufficient each time that you have to eat matzah during the Seder. Again, if you're a person that's healthier that can eat more, and so eat more. Kol ha-marbe. But one should realize that you shouldn't speak while you're eating the matzahs. You should eat the matzah. You don't have to rush. People have a misunderstanding that they think they have to rush. They think there is a time zone that you have to eat the matzah. But people have a totally misunderstanding of that as well, because the time zone is to eat the matzah in the time that will normally take to eat that matzah sixfold. In other words, you have to eat one kezias in the time that it takes to eat 6 or 8 kezias. So that's a big window of time. So if you're going to say, I have to do it in 2 minutes and I have to eat the whole round shmura, that obviously is not right, because that's not the amount that it takes to eat 6 times the amount of that. So if you're having such a small time zone, such a big matzah, so obviously it's contradictory. So as Poskim say, if you eat normally, you don't talk and you just eat normally, you can't miss the time. You you don't have to choke on it and things like that. B and C are about the dalakosos. Both men and women are chayiv in the dalakosos of wine. One should realize that if one does not enjoy wine, or if wine is not going to be good for them, then one could use grape juice. Pure grape juice, even without adding any wine to the grape juice, that most posts can consider grape juice to will fulfill the obligation as well. If you're somebody who feels that you don't enjoy wine, or wine knocks you out, or whatever it is, and as the Mishnah Berurah points out, the women were also in the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so they're obligated in the dalakosos as well. E is the Haggadah. Women are chayiv in the Haggadah as well. And of course, if they want to say it in the language that they understand, if they don't understand the Hebrew words of the Haggadah, they could have an English Haggadah and they could say it. Can be said in every language, so everyone should understand. In G, we know that there's a halacha in Hilchas Pesach that when we eat the matzah, the dalakosos, we're supposed to recline. So the question is, because reclining is considered the way people enjoy eating, so the question is that in our day and age, people don't recline. That's not the way we enjoy eating, by reclining. So the Rav Yah says that the whole halacha of reclining doesn't apply anymore, because who reclines? Who does that? However, we don't accept this opinion, and the men recline, because that was the way it was done with Zman Chazal. However, the women say, we follow the opinion of the Rav Yah, Kisam Kol Divrei Rav Yah and G, that women follow the, because there's a question whether women recline or don't, so women have the minhag not to recline, because since they follow the opinion that says that no one really has to recline. So even though the men are not following this opinion, at least the women could follow the opinion, and they could eat without reclining. And there's a question what reclining really means, whether it means just a tilt, or really it means that you have to prostrate yourself on a bed and eat your matzah that way. But that's not for, that's for the men to worry about that. And the women don't have to recline. Number H is an obligation of Hallel, that we say Hallel at the Seder, and women normally are not obligated in Hallel. Mitzvah says Shasman Grama, but here it's part of the Seder, and it's part of the Dalet Kosos, is one of the Kosos is said on the Hallel, so women should make sure to say the Hallel as well. The old practice was, in the time of the Gemara, that the Haggadah was recited by one person in the family. That's the way it was, and one person would, and everyone would be quiet the whole night. And one person in the family would say, usually the Balabais would say the Haggadah for everybody. And now the minhag is everyone says it, or people take turns, but people should make sure to say the parts, the different brachos, and the Rabbi Gamliel, the Shlosha Dvarim, these are parts that are very integral to the Haggadah, and everyone should try to say them. Number 10 is the is Achilas Basar, the night of the Seder, so we serve meat or chicken, and we want to make sure that we're not doing anything that's similar to the Korban Pesach, because we don't have a Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach was roasted. So therefore, we should make sure that we don't have roasted meat or chicken. So therefore, we have roasted means when there's no medium of liquid. When you take, you roast it or you put it in a pot without liquid. So we don't serve roast. We serve cooked meat. Cooked chicken is the proper way to do it for the Seder night. And number 11, is again to remind us that this year, like every other year, but this year it's even later. That we changed the clock, so everything is very late. So there's an Isser Hachana. You can't be making on Shabbos for the first day of Yontif. You can't be making on the first day of Yontif for the second day of Yontif. So the second night is very hard. One could is and the second night is all the Rabbanon. So if one needs to wants to start setting the table by 8 o'clock or 8:05, one doesn't have to use the most common opinion. In other words, as we said, according to the Vilna Gaon, at 8 o'clock, 8:01 is already nightfall. So I'm not necessarily telling you to light candles then, but for the Chol HaPachos, if you want to do certain hachanas, like setting the table, which doesn't involve any malacha, and you want to do it after 8 o'clock on the first Thursday for the second day, one could get a little head start in that regard. Okay. These are some of the halachas. Of course, if you want, we can take some questions. Again, Hilchos Pesach is something that's is a very huge area in halacha, and I try to give the basic outline of things that are relevant. It's hard to say for sure, but maybe put it included in your sale.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I told you it's included in her sale of her chametz. She has weed in her flower pot. Yeah, it could be it's already not edible. We have to see exactly what you have. But it'll be in your mechira, and I don't think you'll come to eat it. Yeah. Yes. Right, you can't serve chametz to your pets either. Right, pet food, if the pet food really is fit for human consumption, so then one is not allowed to feed chametz to his pets. What? Roast beef is a problem. You should, with water, it's okay. Yeah. Flour could be considered chametz gomor. It depends on your finances. How? Yeah. People have all different types of customs, but it's not a halakha. No real need. If you really get rid of all your chametz, if one gets rid of all their chametz, there's no halacha that you still have to do a mechira. Was mechira's chametz? We in my household, we don't do mechira's chametz. We just get rid of the chametz, that's it. But again, not everyone can do that. People have large quantities of whiskeys and things like that, and it's a big hefset. So, common thick dishes just put away. You don't have to sell them. No. What? Yeah. Yeah, if there's a lot of liquid, that's like, yeah, you have to put a lot of liquid in, and a lot of liquid is cooking. No, the real difference is if there's a liquid medium, that's called cooking, and that's permissible, and that you could serve. If there's no liquid medium, that's called roasting, and that's a problem.
There, Myla?
Yeah, but I don't think you have to. You know, if you want, but if you want, you can.